Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now, I don't know about the rest of you, but these words cut me to the quick. They come across my ears sounding a little bit like a demand, maybe even a little bit like a threat. They sound like the words of a lover demanding that you prove your love by doing what they tell you to do. If you really loved me, you would do X, Y, or Z. And in this way, these words seem to change love into a form of obedience based on fear, the fear being the fear of losing the significant other if you don't do what the other tells you to do. Can you hear this? These words sound like words of law. They sound like Jesus is demanding that we prove our love for him by doing what he tells us to do, that is, by keeping his commandments. This is, in fact, how some Christians think Jesus operates. They think that once he gives us grace, or once he gives us his love in the form of forgiveness and salvation and new life, that Jesus then turns around and says, now you need to prove yourself to be worthy of my love by doing the things that I tell you to do. To put it simply, Jesus loves us, and then he demands that we prove ourselves to be people who are worthy of that love by keeping his commandments. But here's a question. Is that really what Jesus is doing here? Is he demanding that we prove our love by keeping his commandments? The answer is no, he is not. And this is where, once again, context is vitally important, plus also having a basic understanding of the distinction of law and gospel is quite important as well. They both help us out a lot. The context is, once again, Maundy Thursday evening at the Last Supper. Jesus is there speaking with his disciples. In fact, this morning's gospel lesson picks up where last week's gospel lesson ended, in the exact place where it ended. Jesus is in the midst of giving his disciples his final words. He is telling them about his approaching death and resurrection, and he's giving them promises about what will happen after these things. He's seeking to encourage them and to strengthen them in their faith, and in their faith towards him, and in their faith towards his Father for the days to come. Why? Because he loves them, and he is going to show them that love for them in a supreme way by laying down his life for them. In other words, he is acting out the words that are spoken in John 3:16. For God loved the world in this way. That's literally what the Greek says. For God loved the world in this way, that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. How God loves the world, how Jesus loves the world, is by offering up his life for our sins, so that we might then be forgiven and reconciled to God. So Jesus has loved his disciples here, by calling them to be his disciples, by electing them, by choosing them, by drawing them into his net, we might say, making them his people, by proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom to them, and then by ultimately giving his life for them on the cross. Now, they've spent the better part of 3 years with Jesus. Day and night, they've been in his company, they've listened to him, they've seen his signs, they've seen the things that he's done, the acts of mercy that he's given to people, the signs that point to his identity, not only as the Messiah, but as God as well. They've seen all of this, and through all of that, they have come to know him, and they have come to love him, and they have come to trust him. They've witnessed all the grace that pours out of this man. They've seen all the mercy that is in him, and they've come to know him and to trust him and to love him. All of you who have ever been in love or have loved another person as a friend even, know what this is like. You get swept up in love. you fall into love. Isn't that the language that we use all the time? You get overtaken by love. All of these things are love as this overpowering force. Love that grabs hold of you and changes something about your situation with the beloved. That's what has happened to them. Now, it would be absolutely cruel for Jesus to turn around and say to them, you know what? I have loved you. You've seen how I've loved you all this time. I've done all these things and said these things, and my love has been poured out on you. And you know what? In light of that, now I need you to prove that you are worthy of my love. I need you to show me that I didn't make the wrong decision in loving you, and that you are actually people who are worthy of my love. And you're going to do that by doing what I command you to do. Imagine how that would fly if you tried that with your husband or your wife or your children. It wouldn't go very far, right? To say, I love you, but you know what? You've got to prove to me that you're worthy of that love now. What would probably happen is they would leave home and you'd never hear from them again. So Jesus is not doing this. Let's be clear. Jesus is not doing this. No, what Jesus is doing is making a promise. And how we hear is vitally important when it comes to this particular verse and other verses that Jesus says. The promise is this: if you love me, and the answer, the sort of back, the thing that lies in the back of all of this, is of course that they do love Jesus. Remember, he's speaking to disciples who do love him. Their love is not in question, right? If you love me, you do love me. Another way to actually translate that is since you love me, rather than if. Since might be a better translation. You will keep my commandments. You will keep my commandments. That's a promise. It's a sure thing that you will keep my commandments because love issues forth in love. In other words, when you are deeply loved by someone, the end result of that is that you begin to desire to do the things that you know your beloved loves to see done. That's how love works. Love issues in love. The Apostle John is often called the Apostle of Love because this is one of the big points that John drives home, not only in his gospel, but in his letters as well. Love issues forth in love. So Jesus is stating a simple truth of what is going to happen with his disciples. That's what he's doing here. He's making them a promise and saying, this is how things will be for you. Disciples, strictly speaking, don't need to be commanded to do the things that Jesus calls them to do. We do them because we are loved. We do them because Jesus has first loved us. Isn't that 1 John? We love because he first loves us. That's how it works. This, my friends, is in a very basic way a distinction of law and gospel that we need to grab hold of. God is not looking for a bunch of good, obedient soldiers who do his bidding simply out of a sense of duty or out of a fear of getting punished or anything like that. No, what he is looking for and what he is creating and making are beloved children who produce good fruit. He is looking for beloved children who produce the fruit that looks like the things that he commands us to do. Why? Because we are loved by him. That's what Jesus is bringing into creation with us. He is making us people who do what he commanded us to do, which is to love, because we are first loved. To that end, he makes his disciples another promise, and this promise is the coming of the Holy Spirit, who will empower them to keep his commandments by loving God and by loving their neighbors. Jesus says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you and he will be in you. Even now, at the time of the Last Supper, the disciples have the Holy Spirit because it's the work of the Holy Spirit to open up their ears and to bring them to faith. And he's done that. He has brought them to faith. That's what Jesus means when he says, you know him because he abides, present tense, not will abide. He says he abides here now at this Last Supper with you. But he also promises them that the Holy Spirit will come and be in or among them in an even fuller way. And that's what happens on the day of Pentecost, which we're going to hear shortly. And what the Spirit will do for them is the Spirit will give birth to the fruits of love in and through them. That fruit, going back to last Sunday's gospel lesson, will be doing the works that Jesus does. At the end of our gospel lesson last Sunday, Jesus says, you will do the works that I do. In fact, you will do even greater works than these. Now, I didn't preach on that last Sunday, so you're going to get that now. Those greater works that Jesus is talking about are not us doing more signs and miracles. That's not what he's talking about at all. The works that Jesus is talking about all throughout John's gospel is converting people to faith by preaching the gospel. So when Jesus says, you will do the works that I do, what he's saying is, you will be my witnesses and you will do greater, the greater being a larger amount. Why? Because Jesus is only one person, limited to a geographical area, but his body, the church, is a much bigger group of people that will be able to share the gospel with many more people. That's the greater work. So Jesus says you will do greater works than he does. And what he's talking about is the proclamation of the gospel. And that comes by the Holy Spirit. That's how we proclaim. That's how we are moved to love our neighbors, is by the Spirit who resides in us and does work in us and through us. In fact, that is the keeping of Jesus' commandments, to share the gospel and to love other people. That's all that Jesus' commandments can be boiled down to. So the point here is that we are not left to love on our own. We are not left to keep Jesus' commandments on our own. If we were, we would continue to make the mess of it that we make in our old sinful selves, right? That's what we do when we try to take up the reins and be our own masters. God is responsible for working both of these things in us. And that means that we can't take credit for these things ourselves. Every good thing that comes in us and through us is God's. God does it. And we can't take credit for it and say, that was mine. I did it. God does it. And so what God accomplishes in and through us is for his own glory and for the spreading of his gospel. To that end, it's my job to remind you of the gospel promises so that you are drawn more deeply into love with Jesus, and so that consequently, in turn, you might actually bear the fruit of Jesus' commandments. You might actually bear the fruit of love. With that said, it wasn't just the 12 disciples who were gathered there at the table on Maundy Thursday evening who were loved by Jesus. It's also you, my friends. You are loved by Jesus. And Jesus has shown that love for you by bearing your sins to death on the cross. And Jesus has shown that love for you by rising from the dead on Easter morning to announce that you are justified, you are trued up, you are tuned up with God, you are now righteous people. You are in a right relationship with God through baptism and faith. What that means is that your sins are forgiven, and you are loved not only by Jesus, but you are loved by God the Father as well. Jesus has done everything that is necessary for your salvation. Jesus has done everything that is necessary for you to have new life. Jesus has rescued you from the power of evil, and he has brought you into his gracious kingdom through baptism and faith. And that means that he pours out all of his good gifts on you in that time. And one of the gifts that he has given you is the gift of his Holy Spirit. That Spirit took hold of you on the day that you were baptized into the triune God's name, and he has been with you ever since. He does not leave you. Do we resist the Holy Spirit sometimes? Yeah, you can bet that we do. But does the Spirit leave us? Nope. He has marked us and claimed us as his own, and he says that he will never leave us nor forsake us. He has been with us. He has been, and he will be, bearing good fruit, the fruit of faith and the fruit of love, which is the sum total of Jesus' commandment in us. He won't be doing it without us, of course. We're not just going to become robots. You know, this is an AI, Holy Spirit AI, that takes everything over. But he will be doing it with us. He will be moving us so that we proclaim the gospel, we love and serve our neighbors. So here again, Jesus' promise to you. If you love me, and Jesus can say, I know you do, you will keep my commandments. God will see to it that you do so. Which leads to this promise as well. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. That's you, my friends. You are loved by God the Father, and you are loved by God the Son, the one who reveals himself to you every time we gather together here on Sunday morning. He reveals himself to you in word and sacrament, shows you and tells you again who he is for you. So in light of that, may you go forth today in that love of God and bear good fruit for Jesus' sake. Amen.